will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ is talking about to his disciples about their character. Now, we have a lot of characters today, but we're talking about a different kind of character. We're talking about that you're made of. And in Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 38 through 42. You have your Bible? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. All right? There's this, Jesus talks about character. And he talks about eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. He talks about turning the other cheek and all of these things. But it says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go too. Imagine for a moment, you are a Jewish man, and you're working in your vineyard, you're working in your garden, and a Roman soldier comes by. Roman law was, if he asked you to take his pack, you were to pick up his pack and tote it for a mile. And Jesus says, if he asks you or compels you to go with him 1 mile, go with him too. Now, the Romans always had a way of making the civilians slaves, so to speak, do things for them. There was an animosity there among them and a hostility that built up in their life. A Roman soldier would call the Jewish man and say, hey, guy, quit what you're doing, come tote my pack for a mile. Carry my pack. Now, suppose you're busy working in your garden or in your vineyard, and by law, you had to stop what you were doing, pick up this Roman soldier's pack, and tote it for him a mile. Now, if you didn't like that, the Jewish people didn't like that, can you imagine as he is ordered to do this, and he's working in his vineyard, he's hoeing with his hoe, and he's chopping up the weeds or whatever. He slams down his hoe, stomps over to the Roman soldier, picks up his pack, and off they go. He's mad. The hostility is there in his life. He's thinking in his heart, all right, one of these days, the laws are going to change. One of these days, you Roman soldiers won't be in charge, and I'm going to get you back. Does that sound like the way we think sometimes? One day, I'm going to get you back. Now, Jesus says, whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Now, before he said, go that second mile, go with him too. I can imagine what this Jewish man was thinking. Now think with me just a moment. Here he is. He's working. The Roman soldier comes by and says, listen, I want you to drop what you're doing and take my pack and walk behind me. Follow me. I'm tired. Well, he's been working out in the field all day long. And when Jesus says, whoever compels you to go with a mile, I'm thinking, he says, after you take that mile, rebel. Get him back. Well, instead, Jesus says, don't do that. Go 2 miles. Voluntarily go that second mile. Now, you know what? I don't know about you, but I'd like to be that other miler. I'd like to be the one that can say, I'll go that extra mile. Now imagine this Jewish man working. This soldier comes along. He's tired from marching. And he wants this farmer, Jewish farmer, to tote his pack for a mile. Now, he probably wasn't very kind in asking, "Hey, boy, come over here and tote my pack for me. I'm tired." Well, with that kind of attitude, you know it's natural for us to rebel. You like to be told what to do. Say you're out working in your yard, you're out there mowing, you're hot and you're tired, and somebody stops and says, "Hey, stop that thing and come help me for a minute. I've got a job for you to do." I imagine you're thinking, "Well, why should I? I've got a job to do myself." But this man lays down his hoe. He walks over to the Roman soldier. He grabs his pack, and he says, "Come on, soldier. I've been working in my vineyard all day long, and I need a break. I'm going to tote this pack for you." And as he's toting this pack, what if he says, "You know, have you ever met Caesar?" The old soldier begins to look at him and says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I just want to know, have you ever met Caesar?" And the old Roman soldier might say, "Yeah, I have, as a matter of fact." Might tell, where have you been in life? What are you doing for the Roman army? What's your job? How far are you going to march?" Well, I can imagine as they travel, this Roman soldier who hasn't seen a friendly face in a long time begins to think about this man that's walking carrying his pack. He's interested in his life. He's talking to him like he was somebody. You know, these soldiers were just, they were just Roman soldiers to Rome, and they could care less probably if they died or not. They were doing their job fighting. They were doing their job marching. They've been away from their families for a long time also on the road. But before long, a mile is up. Now, by law, he's obligated. He could quit. Have you ever noticed how time seems to fly when you're having fun? I was riding with somebody the other day, and we were going from one place to the other, and we were interested in talking. We were talking about the church. We were talking about life in general. We were talking to each other, and the first thing you know, we were there. Now, I've traveled that road before by myself, and you know, it seems a long, long way when you're riding by yourself. But when you're talking to somebody, the time passes by. And what if this man, this Jewish man, who instead of having hard feelings, instead of being mad, instead of thinking an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, says, "You know, soldier, I've gone a mile with you, and I know you're bound to be tired. Let me go ahead another mile. It's just another mile into town, and I'll tote you back." You see, that's the second miler. And the man says, "Well, just another mile." You see, the other miler, Jesus says, is speaking of a whole new realm in Christian living. A whole new way, a whole new attitude. I'll do more than what's expected of me. You see, that's the other miler. That's the second miler. Jesus is saying, when we discover how to live life going the second mile, it opens up an entirely new way of living for us. Now, you think about it. Somebody asks you to do something, and you do it. What kind of attitude do you have towards doing that? Back in 38, it says an eye for an eye. That's what the first miler says. You know what? An eye for an eye, man, you make me tote this pack. One day when you're out of office, I'm going to get you back. You say you took my time, I'm going to take your time. One day the tides will turn. You won't always be in control. And then I'm going to get you back. You see, everybody's got the message. The first miler says, I will do only what's required of me. Isn't that the way our society is today? I'm going to do just what is required of me and nothing else. You know, this is the problem. I believe it's a problem that we have today in our society. Preacher, I'm just going to do what's expected of me and nothing else. You see? I believe that's a problem we have so many Christians that hadn't grown in their Christianity is they think, well, since I'm saved and secure, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to sit and enjoy what everybody else furnishes. That's the reason we have 80% doing, or 20% doing 80% of the work in the local churches. Marriage in your first miler or marriage, you know what that says? A first miler in marriage says 50-50. That's a 50-50 proposition. Honey, you do your part, I'll do my part, and let's not do anything else above that. But that's not the way a marriage runs, is it? A marriage is both doing both parts with all your heart all the time and not complaining, you see? The church, I'll do my part. And I've heard this many a time. But unless somebody else up there does something, I'm not going to do anything else. That's the first miler. And Jesus says, you can't enjoy your life, you can't enjoy Christianity if you're just a one-mile person. You've got to go the extra mile. Jesus says, if a man compels you in life, if life compels you, in your job, if your job compels you. You see, that's what we got wrong today. I had a boy working for me years ago. Never will forget that. We hired him. He couldn't really do much of nothing. He was about useless. But you know, he needed some help, and we give him some help. Tried to help him. But he only wanted to do just what was required, nothing over that. You know? Have you ever tried to haul hay for somebody? Had a guy one time, back when I was in high school, we hauled hay in the hayfield in the summer and hauled it to the barn. Me and my brother had a truck, and we hit those hayfields every evening that we could haul hay to make some money. And we hired this old boy, said, we'll give you 5 cents a bale to help us haul hay. Well, we got to the barn, we started unloading, he was sitting down. I said, what's wrong? You ain't going to help unload? And he said, you hired me to haul it, not to unload it. Needless to say, he didn't haul anymore. But we only want to do what is required of us. Amen. And Jesus doesn't say that. He said, if you want to be a winner in life, you go the second mile. The first miler says, boy, I'm going to get back at these folks. I hate these Romans. I hate them with all my heart. And sooner or later, we're going to get back at them, and we're going to show them who's boss. You know what? If you're a first miler, here's your attitude. Just take, for instance, we got the farmer in the field. He takes the pack 1 mile. He drops the pack on the ground and says, I've done my duty. I'm not taking that pack a bit further. He's mad. He's been in his vineyard all day working. He's chopping the grass out of that vineyard. And he gets back there. He's so mad. He's hitting that hole on the ground, and he breaks the handle out of that hole. That's life, isn't it? Now, is it the Roman soldier's fault? No. It's his fault for being mad. Let me ask you another question. Did it hurt the Roman soldier? No. It didn't hurt the Roman soldier at all. Was his life affected, the farmer's? Yes. Was his vineyard affected? Yes. Was his family affected? Yes. So in the long run, being a first miler, wanting to get even with somebody only hurts your life. It only drags down your character in your life. The second miler, he handles life a whole lot better, doesn't he? He handles things in a different manner. He does something positive about being taken advantage of. And by doing that, let me tell you, he feels good about himself. He takes the pack 2 miles, gets the old boy on into town, settles his pack down, and walks back to his vineyard whistling a tune. He's happy because he has a different attitude. He has something different about his character. He goes back there. It's late in the day. He starts to work, and he's whistling a tune. He's so happy inside because he's not mad at that soldier. He's talked with him. He's enjoyed talking to him all the way there and back. And you know what he's done? He's done something that a lot of people never do. We get so mad in our own lives, we think we're right in our own self, that we build walls up. We build walls between our families. We build walls between our friends. And those walls that we build shut them out and shut us in. And we end up hurting who? Only ourselves. Only ourselves. The second miler, he tears down those walls by friendliness, by his attitude, by his willingness to go, a wall of resentment that he could have had. He could have been mad at that Roman, a wall of hatred that he could have had, the hostility that he could have had, and we would probably say, yeah, he had all right to. But that's not in his character. He broke all of that down by going the second mile. He tore down those walls. He got past that first mile. Can you imagine when he got to that mile and that soldier said, okay, you've done job. You can set the pack down and I'll take it. And that old guy said, oh, no, no. I'm going to take it for you another mile. I'm going to take it on into town for you. I know you don't owe me nothing. But I just want to do that for you. Boy, I got a feeling that old soldier would be so overwhelmed that he didn't know what to think about that Jewish guy. Nobody had ever been that nice to him before. Nobody had ever carried a pack 2 miles. Nobody. They had all slammed it down and went home mad. But not this guy. This guy sticks out his hand, and when he gets to the end of the second mile and says, hey, friend, let me shake your hand. I may not see you again in this life, but I want to know that I'm your friend. I imagine that old soldier would say in his own heart, even if he didn't say it out loud, what's this man got? What's this man got that I don't have? You see, well, the second miler breaks down those walls, breaks down those barriers, and is able to open doors that never have been opened before. Just suppose in that second miler, he reaches out and shakes that hand and says, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. You're thinking, what have I got? What am I up to? I don't have anything but Jesus in my life. You see, a first miler comes in. He sits down in a church. He gets up. He goes out of that church and says, you know, this church is so cold. Nobody in that church is friendly. The second miler comes into the church. He reaches out his hand and says, hey, I'm a visitor. My name is so-and-so. I come here to visit with you tonight. He makes the first move. And they have a whole different attitude. The walls are broken down. Life is broken down. Well, I said a while ago, walls separate us today, don't they? That's what's the problem with in our government. That's what's the problem in the world today. You know, I went to Israel a few years ago. Brother Perry, you wanted to go to Israel. I hope you get to. And if you ever want to go and I get a chance to go, I'll go with you. But I noticed something. Doctor went too. They've got walls built all around that city. There's four different communities, I understand, in that city. And it's broken down where this group lives here, this group lives here, this group lives over here, and this group lives over here. And they built those walls, and there's walls of separation today in Jerusalem. One day, those walls are going to come down. And it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. But you know, we can't talk about their walls when right here in America, we build walls, amen? There's walls in your life and in my life and in America's life. There's walls against our neighbors. You see? We want to keep them on the other side of the fence. We don't get along. There's walls in our families. Our families are today separated. I am so glad that I've got Christian families. You see? There's walls of bitterness. You look on television. There's race walls. Walls between the whites and the blacks and the blacks and the Hispanic and the Jewish and the Muslims and all of this. Those are walls that we have built. We don't trust one another anymore, do we? There's walls between the police force, you see. We build all those walls. And Jesus says, that's not the way I want you to act. I want you to go to the second mile with a guy. Man, I'm not going to let the devil. You know, when I grew up, we grew up on Tough Street. That was the name. And if you go down there today and you look at the roadside, it says Tough Street. Man, it was tough. There wasn't but three or four people lived on that road, but it was tough. It's still tough today. But let me tell you something. When we went somewhere, we never locked a door. We never locked a window. Nobody would steal from you. Isn't that amazing? What have we come to? When now we build walls, we put gates up with locks on them and no trespassing, and steal metal over our windows. What have we done? We've locked ourselves out. Or we've locked others out, but we've locked ourselves in. Saw a man not long back, his house burnt down, and he burnt to death in his house because he couldn't get out. He locked all the windows with welding them together so people couldn't get in. Isn't that sad? If we went the other mile, I believe we'd tore all those walls down. The other mile is a reflection of Christ's character. And it breaks down those middle walls, those partitions that we build that separates us and everybody else. Jesus came along, and he didn't say, okay, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, rebelled. That's what Peter thought, see. When the Roman soldiers came in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took out his sword and he cut the man's ear off. That's exactly the attitude he had. And Jesus said, no, Peter, no, no. This ain't the way I want you to go. This is not what the Father wants. And then there's a third miler. This third miler showed forth Jesus. Imagine the Roman soldier standing at the well, shaking hands with this Jewish man. And he said, you know, I never thought it possible that I could love you and you would have a love for me. You see, Jesus didn't die just for the Jewish people. He died on the cross for all of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, put their faith in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, this world is not perfect, if you hadn't noticed. This world is slowly, or fastly, I should say, I believe, coming to an end. It's going downhill every day. How did this happen? That two enemies would now be talking? The Jewish man, he's just been waiting for an opportunity, and he took that opportunity. And he says, you know, why I toted your pack the second mile? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, told me to. Oh, yes, I understand. Pilate, he crucified him. Oh, yeah, I know that. But you know what? He didn't die. He's alive. How do you know he's alive? He lives within my heart. He's the reason I took your pack the second mile. That's the reason I went, that I might be like Christ. You see, makes all the difference in the world. I just imagine that old soldier started wiping tears from his eyes. Man, do you need your life changed tonight? I think we do, don't we? I think I do. I ask God every day, Lord, change my life. Make me more like you every day. Am I reading too much into this parable? I don't think so. For I've seen the second miler change people's hearts time after time after time. You see, that's the way the gospel is spread. It's simply let others see Jesus in you. Is that what people see in you? The second mile? Has Christ changed your life? He will if you'll let him. He will if you let him. You know what it takes? It takes realizing that, Lord, I have built walls up in my life. Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need you in my life. And it's getting our lives right with God. That's all it is. Getting our lives right with God. Going that second mile, saying, Lord, I want you to change the way I am and to make me a second miler. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done in life, no matter who you are in life, God can change you. He will change you. It's simple. So simple that most people miss it. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. Change my life, Lord. Let me be a second miler let me go out of the way to be a second miler. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to our heart. Lord, that there's someone here that's lost. Lord, that if someone here needs to get their life right, that they may do it at this time simply by coming to the altar and praying and saying, Lord, I want you to change my life. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you